Hello, my name is Bona.
And my name is Rosa.
And in today's Babble and Read, we're just going to talk about books that impacted us greatly, recently read or old-time favorites, relevant or classic novels, and so on. So we'll start the podcast by individually talking about a book that we chose for this podcast. And Rosa here is just going to start.
Okay, so a book I have for you guys is The Understory by Richard Powers. The Understory is a book about trees, to put it very broadly. It follows the lives of seemingly unconnected individuals and how they unexpectedly become intertwined through, you guessed it, trees. Well, it's a pretty good book, and it's shown by the fact that it won the Pulitzer Prize in 2018. And yeah, it is really good.
Oh, that sounds really interesting. Well, tell me a little more.
Since this book follows a lot of different narrators and time spans, it's kind of difficult to summarize, but I think that reading it is very important, and it's something that a lot of people, especially those living in maybe developed countries or places where you don't really see deforestation or like the active destruction of forests happening, I think reading it has definitely made me appreciate trees more and realize their importance to the world. The author at times, you know, like Tolkien, spends so much time like describing trees and forests and stuff that it sometimes can feel really tedious. But it really makes trees feel alive, and it really makes them seem really fascinating. And it made me realize that society as a whole needs to make serious efforts to conserve them, because they are really important for the planet. And if they get destroyed, there's no replacement for them. And one connection I found to this book and today's society was that, you know, deforestation. Like, trees are getting destroyed at a breakneck pace right now. There's, like, the Amazon forest has, like, completely changed since the beginning of the 21st century. There are so many portions of it that are now just being cut down and that are not going to be replaced in the future. And, you know, as a result, thousands of ecosystems are dying with the forests, and like thousands of species that will never get replaced, and thousands of species that really play an intrinsic role in the planet. And by connecting trees to human narrators, I think The Understory gives trees a human side that inevitably makes people attached to them. And I think people should start thinking about trees this way, because a lot of more people will become motivated to save trees and save forests if they knew that what kind of important role they played in the planet.
Oh, I see. Yeah, deforestation is a really sad problem right now. And I also really love trees, so it's even more sad, I guess. So one thing I kind of want to ask you is, after reading this story, do you think the title of the book, The Understory, has any kind of meaning or significance that's related to what's inside the book?
Well, like, I heard that the overstory is usually like the layer between the canopy and kind of like the forest floor within a forest. So the understory, I feel like, is kind of a play on that term, because the understory, it kind of refers to like the root systems and like the internal systems of forests rather than stuff you could see just outright.
That's right.
So it's talking about like the importance forests play that are not really that noticeable, but they are still very important to our survival.
So what do you think of Richard Powers as kind of like an author? Does he have a specific style? Are you interested in reading his books in the future? What do you think?
Well, I think it's pretty interesting because I've like read a few reviews about The Understory by like the New York Times and other publications, and from what I read there, Richard Powers is a very like science-oriented author, and I could definitely see that when I was reading The Understory, because he used a lot of scientific terms but made them very understandable to even a normal reader. And this is a very important skill to have, I think, especially if you want to convince people that saving trees is a necessary thing to do. Because by describing all like the intrinsic and complicated scientific roles that are very important to the planet in layman's terms, it makes them very accessible, and it communicates like the importance of these roles to the reader, no matter like if that reader's educated in science or not. Okay, so moving on to Bona. What book did you choose to bring to this podcast today?
Okay. Not like you, this isn't really a book that I read recently, but it's something that I read a long time ago. So I don't know if my recount of it will be really accurate, but the book I chose for today's podcast is called Test of the D'Urbervilles. I'm not sure if this is right, by Thomas Hardy, not confused for Tom Hardy, the actor. And so to summarize it, basically, this book follows the life of a young girl whose name is Tess, and she experiences a lot of misfortunes in her life, which mainly start after her encounter with this rich man called Alec D'Urberville. And I don't want to get too deep into it because there are a lot of spoilers, and I want to avoid spoilers as much as possible. But I think one spoiler that I have to give is that at the beginning or in the middle section of the book, Tess gets raped by Alec. And so the reason why I chose this book is that this book really delineates the horrors of rape and how awful it can be to be a kind of like a victim to it. And when Tess is raped, you get to see her story unfold, and you get to experience her misery alongside her as she is constantly rejected and betrayed and denied by the people that she once cared about and who once cared for her as well. And it's really, really tragic because you can't help but wonder if people who are actually raped in real life also experience this kind of denial from their close peers. And something that changed within me was that before reading this book, I was taught that rape was bad, and I was taught that rape was something that women should really avoid trying to encounter, and that's still definitely right. But even though I always pitied these rape victims and treated rape as something that was super deplorable, I think a large part of me thought of rape still as some kind of idea or concept that was still foreign to me, instead of a real palpable problem that has tangible effects on the people it inflicts pain on.
I kind of feel the same way. Before, like, I read about, like, testimonies of rape victims, like, you know, during the Me Too era on social media, I also thought of rape as some sort of abstract concept that, you know, I didn't really have any connection to, because I didn't know of somebody who was raped. Like, rape wasn't a topic that was talked about out loud in my household or anything, or among my friends. So it really came as a shock to me when I realized, like, how often rape happens and how, like, it happens in ordinary settings like the office or the street or even with family members. And that was really scary because, you know, that means that rape can happen anywhere at any time, no matter who you are.
Yeah, that's definitely right. Like, I remember when I was young, I thought rape was something that only a few people got to experience. But then as I grew up, I started to notice that there was a lot of sexism and a lot of misogyny that I really didn't notice when I was younger. And now I think rape is something that is really possible and something that people I know or even myself could even possibly encounter in the future. And that's honestly really scary, and that makes me a bit scared for the future, honestly. And overall, this book kind of made me realize that people need to talk more about rape and the stories that surround it, because we often look at the idea itself than the ways that in which it can really dramatically change the lives of individuals for the worse. And I think this kind of taboo-ness surrounding it is the reason why rape victims are so feel discouraged from speaking out their opinions and about their experiences because of this possible denial that they may experience. And I think that's really a development that really needs to occur in our society. So enough about Tess, let's move on to our next book of choice, which is something that both of us have read, and maybe even you have read, our podcast listener. So we are going to talk about The Giver by Lewis Lowry. So Rosa, you start us off.
Okay, so for me, The Giver was my first exposure to dystopian fiction. And, like, you know, after I've read, like, a lot of dystopian, like, books, such as, like, The Hunger Games or, like, a lot of other young adult novels, it kind of like made me realize that, you know, the Giver is pretty special because, like, instead of treating the world, like the dystopian world that it's set in, with like kind of like a negative and hopeless viewpoint, it treats it still as a place where hope can exist, where joy can exist, where the people existing there aren't all villains or bad people, but they're just normal people.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm kind of different from you because I think my first exposure to dystopian literature was actually The Hunger Games, like a lot of young kids. But I think something else that I noticed with these two books is that they kind of had different moods. Like, The Hunger Games had a really modern sort of world building, and of course had more romance, which overall made it feel more like a young adult novel, whereas The Giver seemed more similar to maybe like classic dystopian, like Fahrenheit 451, which is also similar to it because at the end of Fahrenheit 451, you can also see a kind of like a hopeful ending where even though the main character guy, Montag, has experienced a lot of things, like the main character Jonas in The Giver, but at the end it's really hopeful and it's really looking towards the future. And that's something else that I really noticed about the two, I think, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of true, actually. But, you know, like I said before, I think what sets The Giver apart from other dystopian literature, you know, including Fahrenheit, is that it's not really edgy, and it remains hopeful, like, all throughout the novel. And I think because of this, it is pretty realistic. Because, like, unlike Guy Montag, or, like, the protagonists of a lot of other dystopian literature, like, Jonas is a little kid, like, he's, like, 13 or something. And then, like, I think it's really encouraging to see, like, such a young child, like, still remain hopeful after experiencing all, like, these negative memories and these, like, it's, like, basically realizing that his society is a fraud. And then, I think this hopeful attitude is very important to have because, like, even especially now when things are so hard with the virus and, like, deaths and, like, a lot of political conflict, like, I think we should listen to The Giver and embrace life in its entirety, even though it's painful at times.
Yeah, that's definitely right, especially during this pandemic. Like, a lot of people are really sad and depressed right now, but reading books, including The Giver, gives us a moment to just stay hopeful. And I also think reading is really important during this pandemic, as well as just overall in general. I haven't been reading that much lately. I mean, I've been reading more lately, but ever since I got into high school, I realized that I read a lot less than I did when I was in elementary school or middle school. And after I started reading again, I realized that reading is really cute and it's really fun. And dear listener, when you read, you can read at your own pace. You don't need to do it for the sake of absorbing information, but just for pleasure and for learning, and that's just enough. Just read books for fun if that's all you want to do. And there's a lot of books that contain relevant messages that can be related to today, like Rosa said, The Giver, and you may just learn something really important. So I think that is enough for today, I guess. So let's just end our podcast.
Yep. That is all for today, little listeners. Tune in next month for another podcast from
Bona
and Rosa.
Cheers.
Thank you.